Turning your Bibles, please, to Psalm 23. We have been preaching now for, this is our third week preaching from Psalm 23, and I hope it's been a blessing to you as much as it has been to me. That was a great song. I hope we'll do that again. And you'll remember a few weeks ago I introduced to you, I asked some of you if you'd be interested in reading the battle plan for prayer. I ordered some more of these. Several of you have taken them. I have about five left. They're only $11. You don't have to pay for it today. Just drop it in the offering sometime later. I have two here, and I have three more in the office. If anybody would want these, if you don't have them, and I can give these to you afterward. And reminded me when you were singing the song, boy, that's a great book on prayer. How many of you are reading the book? Would you agree with me at the challenge it is on prayer? They're hesitant to agree with me. They're afraid I'll ask him to stand and say something about it. But all right, Psalm 23. And boy, what a great psalm this has been for us to study. And as we have mentioned before, you know, we think of this psalm, we hear this psalm so often at funerals, and we don't think about it in relationship to everyday life and the fact that the message applies to our life right now. And he mentions that in verse 6, only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, most of you have memorized this in the King James. I'm using the Christian Standard Bible. I'll refer to the King James also just because you're a little familiar with it. But you'll notice, why don't I just read through the psalm right now, and I'll read from the King James. No, let me read from the Christian Standard because we had that on the screen, I believe. And so read through this with me, and we'll read through the whole psalm. Psalm 23, beginning in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Now, you have a short outline which sort of walks you through that. I'm going to go through that leading up to verse 4. We've covered verses 1, 2, and 3 in these first couple of weeks. And you'll notice verse 1 begins with, the Lord is my shepherd, I have what I need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In the King James, I shall not want. I have everything I need, that means. And as we mentioned, this message applies to life right now. The Savior who died for us and died for our sins cares for us the way that the shepherd cared for the sheep. And we've mentioned all along that it helps us to be able to listen to or to understand a little bit of the custom, the geography, the history of that day. And we're reminded that David was a shepherd. He grew up as a young man tending sheep, and so he knows that which he is writing about. And you'll notice the very first words that he begins, the Lord Jehovah, Yahweh in the Hebrew, the Lord is my shepherd. And notice in the first three verses, David has personalized this, and he's writing from personal experience and personal need. The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. You can always say, I shall not want, or I have everything I need. And We're reminded of that, especially in a season like this, along Thanksgiving. And so we see that David's relational needs were met, because verse 1 reminds us that David writes from a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's writing from his relationship with the Lord. He's writing with the understanding of what it means for a shepherd to tend for the flock, and then apply that application to God as his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, he says. And then in verse 2, he lets me lie down in green pastures. So you see in verse 2, his spiritual needs are met. David, like you and me, he had needs spiritually. And he reminds us of those needs in this great psalm. He lies me down in green pastures. He lets me down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul, the King James uses. He restores my soul. And that's the same understanding of, skipped a verse. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And so David is reminding us there that the shepherd leads us and he feeds us. And that's a characteristic that we'll touch upon again later, but keep that in mind. You remember, sheep must have grass and water to live, and the shepherd finds those essential needs for them, and he leads them to those places. And he's reminding us that God meets the everyday needs of your life if you follow him. I go back up to the very first phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. See, David's writing from the fact that if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then God is your shepherd. He's your Savior. And so he's writing with that in mind, and he's writing with the relationship that we have as sheep following our heavenly divine shepherd. Then in verse 3, the King James says, he restores my soul. He renews my life. That's what he means by that. He renews my life. He restores my soul. All of us go through spiritual challenges sometimes in life. Sometimes we're expecting some of those things. Sometimes they come unexpectedly. And sometimes we go through periods where we have to just get along, meditate, and allow the Lord to renew the needs that we might have in life. And so he reminds us here of his directional needs. He says, he renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And you remember one of the characteristics of sheep in David's day and David's land was that sheep have to be led. They can't be pushed or forced. And that's why the shepherd would just lead the sheep. He was accustomed to just calling the sheep. And you remember John chapter 10, if you want a good example, an illustration of where David is, he writes, he reminds us, John chapter 10, the gospel reminds us of the importance of the shepherd and the sheep, and he reminds us in that portion of scripture that God hears our voice. He knows our voice. And see, that was taken from a characteristic of what David experienced, because the sheep would become familiar with the shepherd, and all they had to do was hear his voice, and they would follow. If they were with other sheep and other shepherds, all the shepherd had to do was get up and start toward the exit and call his sheep, and they would follow him. And what a great example that David shares with us. I read a beautiful illustration. I got a hold of a little book by a guy named Haddon Robison. Haddon Robison taught at Dallas Seminary for a long, long time. And then he was president of a seminary in New England called Gordon Comwell. But this book was actually written in 1968. And I couldn't believe I still found that in my library now. I was just coming out of high school shortly before that, so I wasn't really following my shepherd as much back then. But 1968, but he shared this beautiful illustration and reminding us of this personal relationship, this directional need that we have in verse 3. And as you look at that verse again, he renews my life. He leads me along the right paths. He leads me. And Haddon Robinson, in his book, he said that, he does not give us good direction sometimes, speaking of God and his set of directions for us. He gives us his own guidance. And listen to this illustration. He says, shepherds in Palestine had a unique way of getting the sheep to follow them. As they strolled down a lane, they would take their staff and they would reach up to a high limb where there was delicious, ripe fruit hanging. And they would pick the fruit, and then they would hold it in their hand while they were walking quietly on the path. And they would hold the fruit in their hand, and the sheep would come running up, surrounding them, trying to nibble on the fruit. And that was one of his ways of encouraging the sheep to stay on the right path, to follow him. Isn't that a great illustration? I thought that has so much application to us. And this tasty fruit, this little tidbit. And so the shepherd led them as he fed them. There's a great portion of Scripture. You can look at this later in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. It's talking about the pastor's responsibility to feed the flock. And it uses the phrase feeding and leading. And, you know, as Christians, we should always lead from the foundation of God's Word, should we not? I mean, you're not interested in a lot of creed theology or creedology. You come to hear from God today. You didn't come to hear from me. And that's why I need to open the Bible and say, thus saith the Lord. Amen? And this is what he was teaching us in that verse 3. And I think it reminds us also of the importance that God leads his sheep by feeding them. God works through his word, and he shows us his will through his word. We feed upon the word of God, and we study it, and we apply it, and the Holy Spirit opens it up and speaks to our hearts, and he shows us what we want to know. You remember I shared that quote from Billy Graham last week. I thought this was great. He said, do you want your faith to grow? I think all of us would say, as believers, we'd like to grow in our faith, right? You want your faith to grow, right? Shake your head like you're agreeing with me, even if you're not. And he said, then let the Bible begin to saturate your mind and soul. You want your faith to grow? You want to mature in the Lord? You want to grow in your faith, your relationship? Then let the Bible begin to saturate your mind and soul. And I hope as we look at these portions of Scripture that you're letting your mind open up and your attitude is, Lord, help me to understand. Help me to understand what this passage is saying. Help me to apply it because I want to know your will for me. And you're not going to know God's will unless you work at knowing God better. Amen? How can you know the will of God? There's a great verse I'm always reminded of Thanksgiving season, 1 Thessalonians 5. I think it's along about, what is it, verse 15, 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there. But it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You ever heard somebody say, well, if I only knew God's will? Well, there's one way of knowing God's will. Give thanks. Amen. And sometimes we just need to pause and say, thank you, Lord. Just thank you for your blessings upon me. Think about all the blessings you enjoy already that God, that God has. And think of all the blessings in this great nation. Someone reminded me recently of the Christians in Nigeria. Have you read about the Christians in Nigeria? They're murdering, persecuting, and Christians in Nigeria by the hundreds, by the thousands. Just killing them. And 1 Peter deals with that subject, learning to suffer in persecution. So we see David's relational needs in verse 1, his spiritual needs in verse 2, his directional needs in verse 3. Now keep that picture in your mind, the shepherd walking along with the fruit in his hand. And if you could just picture that fruit representing the Word of God. What does he tell us in, is it in Proverbs, the verse that says, taste of the Lord, and making reference to the Word of God. That brings us to verse 4, David's emotional needs. Now think about the importance of what David deals with here in verses 4 and 5. And if you have your notes in front of you, look again at the central idea. Our divine shepherd is always there to protect and guide us. Now that's what he's going to teach us in these next couple of verses. God is always there to protect and guide us. And the question we have to ask ourselves, am I following his guidance? Sometimes we say, well, boy, I'm not experiencing that. I don't feel like it. I'm living in God's guidance. I just don't. Well, maybe that's because you've moved away from that closeness, that intimacy, that relationship. Maybe you've lost sight of the fact that he's your shepherd and he will lead you if you will follow him. And so keep that in mind. Our divine shepherd is always there to protect and guide us because we have this living hope. We know how this is all going to end. We know we're going to end up in heaven one day, right? And listen, just, our life on earth, if you think of all of history, it's just a speck. It's just a grain of sand. And we're going to be before the Lord one day. And so it's good to remind ourselves that even what we're dealing with today, God is always there to protect us and to guide us. So you'll notice in verse 4, he reminds us, even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. King James says, and you're familiar with this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Boy, think about what that verse says. There's so much in there for us. And I hope you'll just really think through this with me and relate to this. Now, sometimes we think of that valley, the shadow of death. You see, in the geography of where David was growing up, often they would have to go down in a valley area, a ravine. And sometimes it would be dark because it was down low, and sometimes there were trees and vines and all kinds of brush coming over top of it. And so there's this physical picture that he's experiencing and that he's relating to. And when we think about this verse, and we often relate this verse to the funeral because we think about death, and sometimes, a lot of people fear death, and we think about the reason that he's sharing this with us, and the meaning behind it, and we think about losing a loved one, as some of you have experienced this week. And death is certainly unknown to all of us from an experimental point. And yet David is reminding us that even if I walk through that valley, I don't have to fear. Now see, one of the things he's reminding us here is the resurrection of the Lord and Savior. Jesus is the only person in history who died and was in the tomb for 3 days, and then he arose again. And so he's reminding us here of the resurrection, because Jesus gave us victory over that last enemy, that enemy of death. And he taught us that there's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're going to pass from this life into the presence of the Lord. And so it's great news indeed to know that the one who has brought us victory over death in the resurrection is with me, because he says right in the middle of that verse, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Do you see that in your text? Does everybody see that? Is that in your Bible? Is that in everybody's Bible? Right there in verse 4, you are with me. You ought to underline that in your Bible. Many commentators say that's probably the key thought in this whole psalm. You are with me. And so he's reminding us that the Lord's always with us regardless of what you're going through. Now maybe you're here today and you're going through some trepidation, and maybe you're going through some things. I've told the story before, and you might remember the preacher was talking to a little boy. He met this little boy on the street, and he said, son, would you like to go to heaven? No, sir. No, sir, I don't want to go to heaven. What do you mean, son? You don't want to go to heaven? He said, no, sir. You mean you don't want to go to heaven when you die? Oh, you mean when I die? I thought you were getting a busload to go right now. And you know, most of us think of it in that way. We're looking forward to heaven, but, you know, I've got 9 grandkids I'd like to spend a little more time with, right? I have pictures on my phone if you'd like to see them after the service. And I was talking to Steve Sproul Thursday, and they had their 15th grandchild. Margie's down there with Jace and Emma, and they had their 15th grandchild on Friday, Caesarean little girl named Millie. And I asked Steve, I said, how do you remember all those names? And he had this system. Some of you use a system to memorize. What do you call that? Where you, what? Yeah, mnemonic. And he had this system. He had a long sentence. And he quoted the sentence, and then he bang, 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 named all 15 grandkids. And I thought, goodness, you're almost my age, and you still remember all that stuff. I was impressed. But look at the verse now with me again there. He says, you are with me. And he's experiencing this firm conviction, you see, that the Lord of the valley will take him through the valley until he decides that it's time to go home. Now, we're all familiar with the verse in Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed that a man wants to die. We understand that we're all going to die, right? And so he's reminding us here that until that time, but that's in the Lord's hands, is it not? It is appointed unto man who wants to die, and after that to judgment. We know that God is impartial to the timing of death, impartial to the age, impartial to the timing. And so he's reminding us here, until the Lord takes us home, he'll walk us through any valley. Now maybe you're going through a valley today. Maybe you have a challenge. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe there's a heartache. Maybe a sadness. Maybe it's a relational situation. Maybe it's some of these other needs. Maybe it's a relational need. Maybe it's a spiritual need. Maybe it's a directional need. Maybe you don't feel you really have the right direction, as he mentioned in verse 3, where he says, I'll lead you. Maybe you've stepped away from that. Maybe you've stepped away from the Lord. Maybe you haven't been as faithful in walking with the Lord. And maybe you feel like right now you're not as close. And he's trying to remind us that we can always get back to that place. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. See, there was always danger. And that's why the shepherd was so important to them. Because the shepherd was responsible for protecting the sheep. And it's amazing when you study the characteristics of the shepherd and the sheep. And even when the enemy would come around, a wolf would show up or something that would be in danger. And as long as the shepherd knew sheep knew the shepherd was there, they didn't fear any of that because they knew this shepherd would protect them. And sometimes danger would show up and the sheep would say, oh, you know, leave me alone. I'm busy. I found this green grass and I'm busy. You know, this guy will take care of you. And do you sense that in your life spiritually, your walk with the Lord? You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now think about that rod and that staff. Now the shepherd's equipment was not very sophisticated. In our day and age, boy, we'd want good night. You guys would be loading your guns and making sure you got the right ammunition. And we'd have the right protection. But the rod and the staff, that's basically what he used. And they were applied with two things in mind. And that's why I felt like the central idea was so important to us, because the two things that they had in mind was protection and correction. Protection and guidance. So you don't guide people unless you bring also the proper instruction and the correction that goes with guidance. Now you think about a rod and a staff. A rod was taken from a big heavy piece of wood, and it was usually a thick piece of wood, and usually it would have a big solid knot or circle at the end of it. And they would use that to fight the enemy, to fight the animals, and they would even hurl it sometimes. And they were so efficient at this that they could protect. If they saw a wolf in the distance, they could hurl that rod and take care of him. So the rod was protection. Now the staff was a much smaller wood. You've seen sometimes. Maybe the staff was a little bit like this. Can I borrow this? You won't hit me with it later, will you? Now the staff was just a piece of wood, and it had a hook at the top. And if the sheep ever fell over a crevice or a small cliff, they could reach down and with the hook and pull them back up. Or if they needed their attention, they could prod them a little bit, and you don't use this that way, do you? Only if you tempt me. Only if you make me. And so do you see the application there? Doesn't that make sense? Look at that verse again. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, when you first look at that, you think a rod and a staff, they bring comfort. Well, if you look at the application, they bring protection. They bring guidance. They bring correction. That brings comfort, right? And again, you've got to reflect back to the shepherd. What's your relationship with the shepherd today? Are you walking with the shepherd? Are you following him? Do you hear his voice when he calls? We sang the song about prayer. Boy, what a reminder. Prayer is not only talking to God, but prayer is listening to God, right? Prayer is not just telling God, boy, I need. Where are you? Do this, do that. No, prayer is just reflecting upon the blessings of God and the glory of God and talking to him. It involves our needs, but it also involves listening. And so the sheep had to listen to the shepherd because he protected them. Let's go ahead and just look at verse 5. I'll introduce it. We'll finish it next week. Keep in mind, the shepherd is there to care for every hurt and every bruise that the sheep would experience. Do you have any hurts today? Do you have any bruises? Talk to the shepherd. Now look at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Let me remind you, I should have done this earlier, but you'll notice in your introduction, the last part of the introduction, he said, notice that the personal pronoun changes from he to you when you reach verse 4. David, in verses 1 through 3, is talking about the shepherd, but beginning in verse 4, he begins to talk to the shepherd. And so you see a reflection there. Someone said, keep your eye on the shepherd and you'll make it through the valley. And so in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Just a quick application there, because he's just reminded us, and it seems not to make sense, but we see the word table. Boy, you hear the word Thanksgiving. Can you see the Thanksgiving table? You see the turkey? Now, Wednesday night, we'll have turkey, we'll have ham, and we'll have everything else that you could possibly think of. And so when we see the word table, we think of it in that sense. But you see, in David's culture, in David's geography, a table sometimes just meant a flat piece of land. And so when he was looking for a pasture, he would look for something flat where he could see everyone and he could keep control of it. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. See, the shepherd, as far as his protection and correction, part of his protection was when he found a nice field with green grass and the sheep began to... The shepherd would sometimes go ahead of the sheep and he'd walk that field. And he'd walk across it to make sure there's no poisonous plants within the, because the sheep would get sick. Also, they had vipers that were underground, and he had to look to see if he could tell in the ground that there was, because those vipers would, as the sheep would be eating the grass, they would come up and they were poisonous, and they would snip them right on the nose. My cup runneth over. You see, they would take oil and he would pour it on the head of the sheep. That oil would run down. So when he was eating, if that viper came up, the smell of that oil would discourage him. And it also not only was a protection, but if they did get bit, it was a ointment to help the healing. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Isn't it a joy to know that you're protected and that you'll be corrected? Sometimes we need to realize that, when we're open to the rebuke of the Lord, we have to reach a balance, a healthy balance in that. And sometimes we find ourselves in the presence of enemies. And in this situation, he's talking about the wolves and the vipers, and there were enemies out there that would. And so he would protect them. And he would correct them. And he would use the rod and the staff. And then when they reached verse 5, as he reached their physical needs after meeting their emotional needs, he provides comfort with a rod, takes them through the darkest valley, and then he fed them when they were hungry. And he anointed them with oil when they needed healing and protection. And David is reminding us here that God's provision never runs dry. That's why God's reminded us through David here. That's why David said to you and me, my cup overruns. My cup overruns. Let me encourage you today as you think about your walk with the Lord. Don't ever allow yourself, don't allow Satan to convince you that God's not listening to you. Don't ever allow yourself to think that God is not present and God doesn't know about you personally. And whatever need you have, whatever challenge you have in life, whatever person you're praying for, whatever's on your heart, God can meet that every need. He never stops listening. He never stops caring. His care and his protection and his guidance never runs out. It never runs dry. So I encourage you as we close this morning, go back up to the very first statement. The Lord is my shepherd. I hope that'll ring through your heart and mind today and just help you to deal with anything that you're challenged with. And I hope also you'll realize that if you want the Lord to be your shepherd, you have to make sure that you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Have you trusted the Lord today? Have you asked Jesus to come into your heart to forgive you of your sins? He promised to do that. He told us in Romans, he said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know we're all sinners. But he also told us that God has forgiven us of our sins. God commendeth his love. God showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus died for you and me. He simply asked that you repent of that sin and turn to him and seek forgiveness so that you'll have that living hope that we sang about earlier. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God today. We thank you for your blessings, your love, your goodness. And we thank you for your truth always. We thank you for the Word of God, and you've reminded us in the Word that that your word is true and it's immutable, it's never changing. And through this whole Psalm 23, you remind us that we can totally depend upon what you have promised to us. I pray today that each of us will be assured in our hearts that Jesus is truly our shepherd and that he will truly meet whatever needs, whatever problems, whatever situations need to be solved that we're dealing with. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking but me, if there's one here today and you'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure that Jesus is my shepherd. As you describe the plan of salvation, I'm not sure I've made that decision in my life. And would you please pray for me? I'm not going to call on you, I'm not going to ask you to do anything, but I just want to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Anyone? Please pray for me that I'll find the Lord as my shepherd. Anyone? I wonder if someone would say today, Pastor, I'm praying for someone. I'm praying for a need. I'm praying for a heartache. I'm praying for a bruise. I'm praying for a struggle. I'm praying for a problem that needs to be resolved. I'm praying for something relational or directional in my life, something emotional. I want to bring all of this under the umbrella of my shepherd and ask for help. Has God laid that on your heart today? Slip your hand up. Let me remind you in prayer. Yes, 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 yes. Anyone else? Yes, Pastor, I'm praying about a need, a situation, something I need the shepherd to help me through. Slip your hand up just real quick. Anyone else? Father, we thank you now for the Word of God. We thank you for the blessings of the day. We ask for your continued blessings. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.